Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
It is the Boomer and the Babe Show here on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live on Wednesday, March 14th, 2012. Broadcasting from our studios in the Feeding Arizona complex in Youngtown, Arizona, which is also home to the Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. I'd like to remind everybody at the start of these shows that Valley View Community Food Bank is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, always in need of help financially, food-wise, and volunteers. If you're in the mind to make a donation of any sort, please give them a contact through ValleyViewCommunityFoodBank.com. That's ValleyViewCommunityFoodBank.com. As for Jesse Ramirez, he's the founder and the executive director. They do absolutely phenomenal work here, and as I said, the food is always free. It's amazing to see, especially the holidays, how people are lined up literally down the block and around the corner waiting to get their free, full-fledged Thanksgiving food baskets, food boxes, for families as from as small as one and up to 15. It's just, they accommodate an awful lot of people that are in an awful lot of need with the food insufficiency that we're all facing nowadays. And this is, as I mentioned, the Boomer the Babe Show, and I'm Pete Peters. Deborah is on assignment. She's out working with a couple of clients today other than doing the radio show with me. Fortunately, she's been doing a lot of that lately, so that's always good for our business. And our business is involved in more than just this radio show. We also publish e-books and mini-books. Many of our e-book authors have their own shows here on the Boomer the Babe Network. You can tune in today at 12 noon Pacific time and listen to Eileen Proctor, the top dog in pet care and pet concerns. She is the pet lady that does her show twice a month here on Blog Talk Radio. In addition to the shows, we produce videos for your website, promotional products, consult for small businesses, and our latest member, newest member to our family, is Boomer Experience Speaks. Experience Speaks online magazine, where we have information and articles from many of our show hosts, show guests, and others that are interested in telling you about their expertise, and we publish that once a month. You can go to boomerandthebabe.com, sign up for the online magazine. It's absolutely free, and it comes out monthly. The new one will be coming out here within the next several days. Today we have a very, very interesting guest, a very well-rounded guest in the area of caregiving and care facilities. His name is Erwin Alado. I hope I have that pronounced right. He is the Chief Executive Officer and co-founder with his wife, Catherine, who unfortunately is not with us today, but we were hoping to have her as well. But they work together in the Los Angeles area in a thing called Senior Care Homes. That's their business, and we're going to find out about senior care facilities and how they operate, when you might need them, and what you have to look for when you're choosing one. Erwin, thank you for joining us here on the Boomer the Babe Show today.
Pete, thanks so much for having me, and good morning. Still at 10 a.m. on the West Coast, so very appreciative, you know, having me on your show to share any of my knowledge and help your listeners. You know, based on listening to some of your shows as well, I know, you know, you really get the top-notch guests to benefit your listeners, so hopefully I could do the same.
I'm sure you will. Before we get into this wholehearted discussion, I'd like you, if Deborah were here, she would ask you to do a two-minute movie. And
okay.
We always spring them on the guests right here from the get-go when we do it. just give us a brief thumbnail sketch about your background and your history prior to and leading up to the fact where you started the the current endeavor. But what have you done in the past, and where do you come from, and where do you hang out?
That sounds great. Be more than happy to. And we live in and we actually, our office is in Ladera Ranch, and it's a town right next to Mission Viejo, Laguna Niguel. If everyone knows, it's south of Disneyland. Everyone usually knows that. I'm a father of two beautiful girls, Alyssa and Kara, and also my wonderful wife, Kate. Just say that because she's probably listening out there somewhere. And in my spare time, enjoy golfing and just spending time with my kids and going to church, so very involved in the community. I was born and raised in Santa Monica, California. I'm here in Southern California. The son of two amazing parents, my dad being a doctor and my mom was running the business side of the practice. So I basically grew up, working in his medical practice since I was a teenager. I've been working in healthcare and the medical field all my life, pretty much, and graduated from Loyola Marymount University, which is also down here in Southern California, with a business degree in computers, MIS, and after college, 21 years old, was blessed to have an opportunity to head operations for a small internet company. We're focused on doing customer service, and we're about 20 people when at our operation. We grew to about 300 by the time I left, and they went public, and now they have 15,000 employees worldwide. So it's great to be part of that at a young age. And I did a few more successful startups and wanted to do more. And, I wanted to make a significant positive impact in people's lives and the community. So my wife and I, we always grew up with a deep respect, for our elders. And, I personally have relatives with, memory loss and Alzheimer's. I believe, Pete, you do, you're also affected by that in your life, too. And it's not an easy situation, and sometimes it feels lonely, and sometimes, it can, feel like, it's just a tough, just really thing to go through. And the good news now is that, with the internet and with all these resources out there, awareness is number one now. I mean, it's been the growth of awareness for Alzheimer's research, for memory loss, for senior care. It's growing so fast that it's a great thing because, it just helps a lot of people out there that don't know where to go. So just to go back really quick, my wife, who was also a successful executive, we were talking one day and she said, let's take our, why don't we take our computer and customer service experience and combine it with our healthcare and medical background? And in essence, that's how we came with our company, came up with seniorcarehomes.com. So if you've used, for your travel plans, hotels.com or Expedia.com, I don't know if you're familiar with those, you can book travel online. Senior Care Homes is just like that, but for, senior care homes, large assisted living communities, and retirement living. So, just a quick thing about us is that we're in 12 states with about over 10,000 communities on our site. Many with pictures, like if you do a search on Tucson, Arizona, you could see a lot of like the communities in that area. You could kind of do virtual tours. By April of this year, we'll be in 50 states with 65,000 state licensed facilities on our website. And we're uploading, pictures every day and registering new facilities. And just got interviewed by Wall Street Journal to help, just like your listeners out there, find out more about incentives in retirement communities. And then we were also featured in a big newspaper. So a lot of good things going for the community and for people in need of care. And hopefully I was able to, didn't take too long on that, Pete.
No, that's fine. Excellent. It's nice to have that background information to enter into the conversation. There are several things that I know. There's many more things that I don't know. But there are several things that I do know based on my experience with my father, who's now passed. He had Alzheimer's, dementia, and then, of course, then he started having complications due to the disease. But when we arrived at the reality that he was going to have assisted living, and at some point he was hopefully going to be able to come out of nursing care because he had a wound that just wasn't healing. But nonetheless, we started looking for places for him. And we had a very helpful social worker that gave us some insights as to what to look for. And we also, I also have a friend because in this area over here in the Sun City area of Phoenix, Arizona, I mean, the whole place is full of retirees, all kinds of daycare, assisted living, come to the house, help type things. I mean, anything you could want as far as assisted living or assisting you is here. The problem being that you have to choose from among all these various options in this particular area to find which is the best for mom or dad. And because of the size of my father, he was a big man, there were limitations that people wouldn't be able, they didn't feel they would be able to move him. We started looking at places like, because we were recommended to look for group care homes. And we went to some group care homes. And we had to think of, find people that had lifts, people that had could have enough assistance to get him up out of bed, because he was still, once he would be up in a chair or something like that, he would still be interested in certain things. And all of these different aspects that came to the fore that I didn't even realize and recognize were there, and boy, it is a maze. So why don't we start with what are some of the differences between a group care home, an assisted living home, a nursing care home, and a retirement home? Can you kind of summarize what those four are?
Absolutely, and that's a great place to start. There are many options out there, and you know, definitely you know the more you want to be, have the knowledge and be empowered to make the best decision and the right fit. I think that's the most important thing. You know, to start, you know, I could start at the different stages. Usually, you know, if you're just retired, you know, you'll go into a retirement community. You know, they're for active adults, and you know, they have, you know, 55 and over. They have swimming, golf, equestrian, all the activities, all the things to, you know, make it, you know, just a great retirement place. And then that's also called independent living as well. So, you know, you do have that. And then once you start needing more care, you can also, you know, go into a it's basically called a CCRC, which is a continuing care retirement community. So it'll have all stages of from independent living to assisted living and then to nursing facilities. So it's basically so you can age there and you don't have to move. So that's also an option. And then what we're talking about is if you really need that extra care already, where you need help with your daily activities, you need help with taking medications, you need help with getting up from bed, then or going to the bathroom, then you have assisted living. That goes into what you were saying about group care homes, where you in assisted living you have there's so many different terms. You've heard of boarding cares, you've heard of convalescent homes, you've heard of you know, there's so many different terms because the difficulty is each state, they're not in unison. Each state has its own different terms. So, you know, we try to actually make that easier but to understand. But in assisted living, you have the small residential care homes, which are usually about 6 to, you know, 25 people, like residents in a home, getting care. And then you have the large, you know, assisted living communities where they're kind of like resort type of hotel looking communities. And then from assisted living, and then if you've, you know, if you need more care on top, more acute care on top of that, where you know, you actually have a stroke or you fall, or if you, you know, you're having like a lot of difficulty where you can't even move and you're bedridden, then you go into a nursing facility. You know, so there's different levels. I would say to make it easier, there's different levels, and it just depends on the type of care that you know, you or your loved one will need. And that'll, you know, the best thing to do first is to get your doctor's or nurse's assessment first to see where your loved one's care needs are and what level they're at.
At what point do or should or would a person start to consider, well, maybe mom or dad now need to have something more than what I can provide for them. At what point do you think that would happen?
I think it depends on as far as when it would just be, you know, on, like, number one would be safety. Like, is someone, if you're the caregiver for, you know, for your mom, or if you're the caregiver for your dad, how available are you there to be there all the time? I mean, most, you know, especially with this economy, more people nowadays are starting to work again, people coming out of retirement to work again. And, you know, their time is so limited where they have to take care of themselves and even their kids. And then you have to take care of your parents as well. So, you know, the number one factor would be safety and time being there. If you can't be there anymore 24/7 to watch them, to make sure that they don't have a fall, to make sure that, you know, if they need help going to the bathroom, like we mentioned earlier, or something, like, that's the time where, you know, you're going to have to start to either look for someone to come into the house for in-home care, or go seek the services of a assisted living community, or possibly a care home, when you can't be there to supervise and to monitor them all the time. Does that kind of answer your question?
Oh, it does. But it brings up another point that I'm, I just, these things keep popping into my head as I'm listening.
Sure.
I've got a situation now with an 89-year-old mother, and she's getting very forgetful. For instance, this morning she had to ask Deborah, how does she start her washing machine? She's got an apartment-type addition that we put on for her and my father years ago, and so she's got her own bedroom, she's got her own bathing and bath and laundry facility back there, a walk-in closet, and a nice little living area. She doesn't have a stove, but she's got a microwave and a refrigerator back there. She eats dinner and lunch and breakfast with us all the time. That's part of what we do. But now it's getting to the point where we cannot, in any good conscience, leave her alone. For instance, if Deborah and I have a business meeting or a networking event or a client appointment or something like that, we don't feel that we can both go. One of us has to stay at home to make sure that things are all well and good. Chances are she will never need us. At least she hasn't to this date. But you get the feeling that the minute you're both gone, something's going to happen. You know, something, she'll trip, she'll fall, you know, whatever the case might be. I think that there is a need for her in this particular instance, and I don't know how many others there are, that if you can find somebody to come in and stay for an hour or two or four, while you're out doing whatever, I mean, almost like a babysitting service, frankly, to be perfectly frank, that's possibly an interim way to go before you have to take them to any kind of a care facility. And I'm wondering what you think about those types of services.
Okay, that's another great question. And, in-home care, there's actually a really good amount now of resources for in-home care agencies where they do a background check on someone that's going to provide care and come into your home. And it could be, you know, usually they have like a minimum of, just to let you know, like a 4-hour minimum per day and 3 days a week. And they'll, they'll come into the home, they'll basically they'll be there with your mother, for instance, and making sure that, you know, they're there to supervise and make sure, like, if she needs to go to the bathroom, if she needs anything like that. And then they can also, you know, change, they can also help around, the room and change, like, bed linens to, you know, keeping clean and providing food and cooking meals and everything like that. So just, the in-home care agencies, like I said, they do, you know, it's sometimes people try to, it's great to try and do it yourself, but then sometimes, in life, you do get what you pay for sometimes. And, you know, number one, the bottom line for everything in making a care decision should be safety. And if someone's going to come into your home to take care of your loved one, you want to make sure that, you know, they've been a, you know their background history, you know how experienced they are. So a lot of these agency, like in-home care agencies, what they'll do is they will do a full check on them. They'll make sure that, you know, they're experienced, they know what to do, and they're properly trained. So by the time they take care of your loved one, you know, there should not be any, you know, they avoid any, you know, any accidents from happening or anything like that. So, you know, they do a pretty good job about, like, you know, getting them trained very well. And sometimes if you're talking about, just to give you a little info on the costs, some of them can go, you know, there's some agencies that we know that they go $18 an hour for a caregiver, all the way up to 25, you know, per hour, just depending on the level of care. And then, you know, they would, again, cook meals for you, and they can do just a wide range of services to make sure that your loved one is taken care of. So,
as I understand it, they do anything, and they stop short of dispensing medicine. They can't do anything unless they're an RN or something like that. They can't do anything with regard to the administration of medical needs or medical requirements, but they can remind somebody that it's time to take your pill type situation.
Right, exactly. So just medication reminders, exactly, and meal preparations, right. Cleaning, you know, housekeeping, laundry, you know, so, and doing errands and stuff like that, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that's where I would have a need at this time. I mean, it would make life easier, but I'm saying I don't know if I would need that or if I'm beyond that already. We're trying to make that decision now.
Okay.
So when you're definitely there, you're at the point where you have to go to. Let's say you have to go to an assisted living. The individual is beyond a retirement facility with the active lifestyles and so on and so forth. But they're still not to the point where they wouldn't want to go down and play bingo, you know, or they wouldn't want to go down to listen to some guitar player play in the afternoon or something like that. They still would enjoy that. But they can't do things like change the channel on the TV, do their own laundry wash, start their own laundry, use the microwave correctly, and so on and so forth. That's probably assisted living, I would guess. Is that accurate?
Yes, correct. That is assisted living.
Okay. Now, you're going to go and you're going to look around at all these assisted living locations, and as you say, some of them have everything from retirement to graduates right on through to carry them off to their final resting place. What should you be looking for? I mean, I have my own feelings, and let me just say this, and then you can take it wherever you want to go.
Okay.
When I was looking for a place for my dad, what we were told by that wonderful social worker that I had mentioned to you is that one of the things you have to best rely on is, regardless of what they're telling you, regardless of anything else, your eyes and your nose. If you can walk into that place and you can smell urine and whatever else, you're better off just turning around right now and walking out of that place. And then if you find places where there's laundry stacked or dead, you know, bed sheets and bedding stacked, and maybe not just that they're cleaning that room and they've just thrown it out by that doorway in that room, but, I mean, it's stacked somewhere, and you see that, she said, turn around and walk out. Don't pay any attention to whatever they're saying. Don't let them say anything to you, because you're there for a cursory first impression. What can you see? What can you smell? Kind of a situation. Is that good advice?
Absolutely, absolutely. And another great question. And you know, a lot of families looking for care for their loved one, they don't, you know, they're not sure on, you know, on those, what things to look out. I mean, families, because what we also do, Pete, is we, you know, families will call us and looking for care in the area, and we actually, as a placement agency, we help provide, you know, we visit these homes and communities out there and, you know, also are on the lookout for these type of things. So to answer your question about what to look for, you know, and just as a side note too, if there's anything, you know, for your listeners that aren't able to write all of this down, we do have all of these articles on like red flags in a community or red flags in like what to look for in assisted living, how to make the process easier, on our website at seniorcarehomes.com. So, I mean, if I want your listeners not to feel rushed, and so they can really, you know, listen in and, you know, the what to look out for, you know, number one, you know, is a smell, like you said. The home or facility should not smell like urine, feces, or, you know, super strong pine sol. We have visited, you know, hundreds and thousands of, hundreds to thousands of facilities and communities, and, you know, you will go into the ones where, you know, they smell so good and so perfect, and then you do smell the one that, you know, smells like urine, and those are the ones where, like, they shouldn't smell like that. I mean, if they're changing the sheets, if they're disposing of the, you know, of the or the diapers or the catheter, you know, like just anything like that, it should not smell like that. That's definitely a red flag. You do want to also look at the rooms and bathrooms. Are they clean? Do they have molds? Do they have, you know, are they really kept well? And, you know, another thing too is a great thing to do is look at, if you're in a small, like a small care home or, sometimes even in large ones, you could look at the food, you know, and ask to look at the fridge, look at the pantry. And, you know, you want to look at the menu as well and see what kind of foods are they preparing every day? What, are they really preparing nutritious meals? Are they low in sodium? Do they meet the, diet accommodations of your loved one? Another things too, you know, when you're visiting when you're touring a home or community, you want to look, do they have any pictures on the wall? Like, do they post pictures? Because again, pictures, they speak a thousand words. And if, you know, look if the home is proud or community is proud to put pictures up so they can show how they really treat their residents and families. You could kind of get an indication on there. If you're talking to the care home owner or the administrator of a large community, you know, how long have they, you know, how long have they been around? How long have they been in the industry? You want to ask those things. You know, if it's a care home, do they have a medical nursing background, which they don't necessarily have to have, but it is a bonus. You know, when you are there for a tour, are they really asking questions about your loved one? And do they seem like they care to really understand their needs? Because again, as we said, number one is safety, but then I would say number two is fit. You know, you want to make sure that your loved one is a fit for that community or care home. So, you know, do they really look like they care to understand the needs and get a good grasp on your loved one and what they need? When you're there too, you know, a big thing too is look at the care, you know, you want to meet the caregivers, ask questions to the staff and how do they communicate? Do they treat, you know, the other residents there, with respect and do they say hi? Are they attentive? Do the caregivers, do they look patient or do they look stressed? You know, do they look happy to help? And, you know, the reason why that's important with caregivers is that every day, you know, that person is going to be caring for your loved one. And I think we all agree that, you know, you'd want to know that person a little bit better and how they would treat mom or dad. So that's important. Another very important thing is the residents. You know, you want to, if you see the residents there, ask them questions. Do they look alert? If your dad is alert, you know, you want to try and place them in a community or a care home that, you know, the other residents are the same as much as possible. Are the other residents happy? You know, depending on the time of day, are they just laying in bed? You know, or, you know, are they calling, you know, do you see residents calling for the caregiver and are the caregivers responding? So those are great things. You know, I'd also say when you're touring and making the decision on a home, you know, you want to also request from the owner or from the administrator to, you know, get a couple of numbers from the families to speak with them, you know, the families of the residents to see if they're happy. And then, you know, other points too, you know, they're going to give you a contractor agreement. You know, usually it's a month to month. So, you know, you can leave within a 30-day notice, but you want to go through that carefully. You know, make sure that you get a second opinion from a family member, or friend before signing it, if you're a little bit unsure. And then, you know, do they have any certificates or licenses, awards? Do they post it, you know, their, awards or, you know, other licensing? Because, there's about over 65,000 care facilities and communities and care homes all across the U.S. There's 65,000. So all of those are state licensed. So you want to make sure that They are licensed. Every state has their own licensing department. So, you know, you want to make sure that they are licensed, and that, because safety is top priority. And a lot of times licensing, they'll have like any, you know, minor citations, any major violations or anything like that. So you can check with them to see, is the minor violation would be an example of like, you know, paperwork, they didn't turn in on time. Some major violations where sometimes like the resident will be able to, you know, go out of the community and they have to, you know, you get that person. So state licensing is also a great resource, which will help aid and empower you to make the best decision possible as well. So hopefully that answered your question and was able to help out a little bit on what to look for in deciding on a care facility.
Well, it did. It absolutely did. When we were looking for a facility for my father, as I mentioned at the onset of the show, there were other concerns, and we found one particular group home that we went to that was in a residential area, in a very nice residential area. And this place was immaculate. I mean, I tell you, it's cleaner than my house that I live in now. you literally could eat off the floor. I swear you could. It was that clean, and it wasn't antiseptic clean. I mean, they always had no. We went back there a few times, and no matter when we went back there, even unannounced, because they said come back anytime, whatever you like. You know, and we took them up on it. There were cookies baking, there was bread baking, and these were the European folks that had come to this country, and there's a whole, I want to say Slovakians, but I'm not sure, but it was one of the Slavic countries, and they have taken this on as what they do, is they buy these houses and they turn them into group homes. And this was a very new, very modern home. It was like 6 bedrooms. It could accommodate 12 or 14 people. Just absolutely incredible. And the people there were happy, and the place was clean, and the food just, I mean, I wanted to eat there. I mean, it was just smelling so good. And I think that if you can find that kind of an, and it was reasonably priced too, also, but if you can find that kind of an arrangement, boy, you'd be so lucky, because that is just one heck of a place to go. And I would have left my father there to be cared for by them in a heartbeat. I mean, absolute heartbeat. Now, unfortunately, he made a turn. He was not eligible to go there simply because he needed more care than they could even give him. But it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Some of these places, they're just fantastic on one end, or they are the absolute pits on the other end. And how they get licensed, I don't understand. And I guess maybe that's my question. How rigid is this licensing, and how much is it adhered to? This woman said that she was inspected quarterly or something like that. She had, I don't know how many straight months or years of perfect 100% scores. And she had them posted on the wall. They were there to see.
Right.
Talk to me about the inspection process. Is it, do you know it? What do you know of it?
Yeah, there's a, actually, you know, just so we can help our, you know, our families that contact us more. I personally went through that whole licensing, you know, to get trained and everything like that to see. I just wanted to know, you know, the process of like what goes on. And it is a, you know, they have a certificate licensing in like for the care home owner or the administrator to go through. So they're knowledgeable of all those things. And then during that actual, you know, like when you set up the home and the license, you know, like the inspector comes. Yeah, sometimes, you know, there's, like I said, there's 65,000 communities out there. So especially with the government and state licensing, it does take some time for them to come. And, you know, that's why as far as, you know, knowing what's really going on every day, you know, sometimes they might not have a grasp on, you know, like if there's something like a violation or something like that that goes on, you know, so they're, when they say like they've had a perfect, you know, they've had a, you know, perfect record and stuff like that, you know, sometimes they might get an idea of when the person is going to come to, because just depending on the inspector, they might give them a heads up that, oh, we're going to come. But usually the best way is for them to do spot checks. So, but, you know, from what we know, the inspector, they're pretty diligent, because there's some write-ups that we've seen where some homes have gotten citations where it's just it's kind of out of the ordinary, and to, you know, it's something that, you know, like for instance, like if the temperature in the water heater is like 2 degrees higher than it normally should be, something, you know, kind of small like that. You know, of course, you know, the safety of, you know, you want the water temperature for the water heater at a certain amount. But, you know, if it's something like very minuscule, sometimes they'll get cited for that. And then sometimes, you know, they won't get cited for something where they should have done. So, it, you know, and that's how sometimes it goes with, you know, licensing in any industry and any business too, where it's a human factor where sometimes someone will catch something, sometimes they won't. So, leading into that, that's why you have companies that a placement agency, for instance, in the area, or for instance, we, like I mentioned, we do placement where we go out to visit the homes and we do spot checks, making sure that, you know, they are clean. Sometimes, you know, I love to do it myself. I personally go out and I've seen where there's no caregiver on site, a major red flag violation. You know, so it's very important to go out and see. You know, as a placement agency, we have local knowledge of the care homes that are highly reputable in the area, the ones that, you know, aren't working that well, or they're not doing a great job for their residents, or, you know, to the families as well, or they're not, you know, we get a chance to see the caregivers and how they're treating the residents. So, you know, on top of licensing, it's very, you know, it's very good to use the experts in the area and the placement agencies, because you know, they have a understanding of who are the reputable ones and who, you know, and who aren't. And also, as a placement agency, you're supposed to know, you know, how experienced the care homeowners are, to what budgets, you know, the budgets that they charge per month, you know, to, like I said, how long they've been in business and all of that good stuff. So, you know, on top of licensing, also consult with the experts, I would say, because sometimes you want to have a backup, and you want to be sure that, you know, this is the right place for your loved one before you make that step, because moving them from home to home is not ideal, because as they're aging, it's hard to adapt and get them to move and everything. So you want to make sure that you find the right place, and you want to make sure that you plan early and plan ahead, and that you're not in a time crunch to just make a rash decision and, you know, and then have to move your loved one again. So
when you're in a position where you're going to have to put your relative into some kind of a facility, assisted living or whatever, and you go in there and you know that the fee is for this level of care, it's X number of dollars per month. For that, they get two meals a day. They get bathed every other day if needed. They get bathed every other day, and more often if needed. But if it's needed more often, there may be an additional charge for the additional bath. And as they progress through the stages from assisted living to nursing home to whatever else there may be intervening along the way, the rates go up. Is that correct or not?
My answer to that is it just depends, because, and that is another great question for all listeners to know, because cost, again, that's another very important issue. You want to make sure that the, you know, your budget's going to last and sustain, right? So as their care needs increase, as your loved ones age, you want to make sure that they have enough that can sustain. So to answer your question, in the large assisted living communities where they do provide the care, and like I said, in the large, like kind of hotel resort, usually it's about 100, you know, it could be 50 to like 200 people, 200 residents in there. What they do is they give you a monthly rent. And say, for instance, the monthly rent is, $3,000 a month. And then they'll do an assessment when your loved one moves in on what are their care needs at that point. Like, do they need meds, the medication administered to them? Do they need help getting to the bathroom? Do they need help getting up? So for instance, like, say your loved one doesn't need that much care at that time. Well, as the care needs start to increase, then what they'll do is they have levels of care. So those can go, you know, to a couple hundred, like 300 a month, just depending on the community. And they'll add those to the monthly rent. So, yes, they do increase as their care needs go up. And for instance, large assisted living communities, they have they separate assisted living, regular care, and then they also separate into another wing, a more secure wing, residents with dementia, or if they're diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's. So then if they move into there, then that's almost like an additional 1,000, you know, 1,000 and up to be in the dementia and Alzheimer's wing. So they do go up in the large communities. The reason I said it just depends is because that's the difference with the small residential care homes. Like you were mentioning that European one where they're small and, you know, they have six people in the homes. And what those small care homes offer is that they're a little bit more flexible. They're not on corporate budgets, just like those large assisted living communities are. So if someone's care needs, usually some homes, they will lock you into a certain rate. It just depends on their contract. And some, if the care needs go up a little bit, it might increase like, $100 to $300 to maximum, I would say, in our experience, like $500 a month. But nothing where it would be as large as assisted living communities where they add on those things. And also with the small residential care homes, the six beds around there, another thing is if they end up, your loved one ends up having dementia or Alzheimer's, they don't increase that charge. So that's, that's another benefit too of the smaller residential care homes is that their budgets aren't going to, astronomically change. And to go into that a little bit further, there are benefits to both. If your loved one, at the time when they move in, they're a little bit more alert, then the assisted living community is more of a fit for them because they have more alert residents typically and most of the time. The smaller residential care homes, usually it's a little, the age population will range, but then sometimes, there'll be more people there with dementia or Alzheimer's and they're not as alert, So it just really depends on the fit and the assessment that the doctor does for your loved one and their care needs at the time. Other things you want to consider, with choosing the small versus a large community is that the ratios, like if in the ratios in a large assisted living community, they can go from one caregiver to eight or, 12, 12 residents. Whereas in the smaller ones, it's typically they have, two to three caregivers there all the time. So you have a one to three, staff ratio. So again, it just depends on, what's the fit. Some of our loved ones, they'll move from, from their home and they want also that home-like setting. So they want to be in a, in a residential community, whereas some, they want more activities. And not to say that the smaller care homes, some of them, which we know, which the ones that do, we make it a mission to find out who are the ones providing different services. But most of the time, the smaller care homes, they don't provide as many activities as the larger ones that can offer. So those are the differences in costs and budget and, as far as activities and everything to consider. So that's why I said it's always good to consult with an expert and know, which is a best fit for your loved one.
Well, that brings up a couple more questions. You mentioned the word assessment. In any event, if you're considering having your parent or other loved one put into, that I don't like the way that sounds, if you're having them put into, it's like they're going to jail. They're not going to jail.
Right.
But if there's a need for that care, you really do need an assessment, don't you, as far as a professional medical assessment as to what their needs are.
Yes, absolutely. And usually, you know, you can go to your doctor, like I said, to have an assessment done. Or most of the time in the large communities, they'll have a nurse on staff. Usually they have a registered nurse on staff. And they'll do when you bring your loved one there to visit initially and see the place, they can do an assessment of your loved one to see what stage they're at. Even in the smaller residential care homes, usually it's the administrator or the owner. They'll also do an assessment to see where they're at. So it's absolutely very important to get done. I think also the facilities, they want that to get done as well, because they also don't want to take on someone where they're going to be, you know, a lot of, like if they're, for instance, if they need a lot of care and it's not a fit for, you know, the setup that they have in their home, then they don't want to take that on as well and have more problem, you know, have a problem or anything like that. So for both parties, it's definitely beneficial and it should get done.
Is there a universal standard on the assessment? In other words, if I were to have my loved one assessed by a professional, and can I then, as I'm shopping, and you'd have to be shopping, I would imagine, for the appropriate facility, take that assessment with me and say, this is this person's assessment. How does this fit? Or does every one of these places have to do their own assessment?
That's a great question again. You should be able to take that with you, honestly, because you know you're able to pick the person doing the assessment, especially if it's a doctor. They're able to pick up on all of those, all of the from the mental to the physical aspects of your loved one and what they need and what the diagnosis of everything. You should be able to take that report and go off of that. But then again, the communities, they'll do also another assessment, and if it's an assessment from a registered nurse, then usually what they can catch for most part is something that you can also go to another place and say, okay, this is what my mom or dad is going through, and as far as taking that somewhere else and trying to get a estimate on the cost and needs and everything and services they provide, that should be okay to do that. But again, they'll probably want to do an assessment on their own. So
there's always a cost involved to all of this, obviously. And the way things are nowadays, are these costs pretty much getting to be prohibitive? Is that why some people may not be using these facilities? And does things like Social Security and Medicare pay for any of this?
Great question. On the Social Security and Medicare side, I mean, Social Security is something that you will get, you know, from the government every month. But as far as Medicare, unfortunately, they do not cover assisted living, and only in the nursing facilities is where they'll cover. This is a very important subject, and I'd like to kind of also go into it a little bit more, because people need your listeners and families need to know that what are the costs involved, because there are entry fees and there are incentives that you can get when you move in, and then from the monthly fees. So this is all something that I'd love to go into right now with you too, since you brought it up. And
sure. Go right ahead.
Yeah. And budget, you have to know, number one, how much is there for the care, and, assuming the average age of life expectancy now is 78.5, especially with all the medications and the care that we have now and everything. So you want to make sure that those funds are there to last. So, sometimes, like you mentioned earlier about the home that has you can eat off the floor and it smells great and everything, but you also have to be wary of the budget too, because sometimes what you don't want to have happen is just, it's almost like buying a house for yourself or, you know, buying a car. You don't want to be attracted to the thing that looks so nice and then later down the line having a hard time making the payments. So, for instance, you know, to start on the community, like fee, like admission fees, usually when you go into a assisted living, they'll have a admission fee or community fee, which can range from, you know, $250 to maybe $1,000. And sometimes that could go, it just depends on the community or facility, but then that can be applied to the rent, or sometimes it's just a deposit. It really just depends. And then you'll have your monthly fee. So, as far your other part of your question, as far as costs and are people still moving into facilities? Absolutely, they are. With the turn of the you know, the change in the bubble burst in the economy and everything, you know, there are people that just can't afford, you know, assisted living. So, you know, they actually have to take care of their parents as long as they can, or find alternate means of family members trying to help. But what the average costs to give you indication, I'd say across, you know, depending on the state that you live in, I'd say the average costs for assisted living, usually it's about $3,200 on average. And that could be for good care, for even for Alzheimer's and dementia, and a private room. You can range all the way down, you know, paying per month from, you know, $1,200 a month. It can go all the way up to $8,000 a month if it's like a dedicated, you know, $8,000, which is, you know, astronomical, but, you know, some of those places people can afford that, which is great. And those go up to, you know, $8,000 a month, where it's like a memory, it's just a dedicated memory facility. So they can range from the, on the low end to the high end. Like I said, you do get what you pay for. So that's something that you want to consider. But average cost, it's about $3,200, you know, and again, instead of, you know, you calling the experts, because sometimes instead of, you know, going out to every single facility, trying to get on the phone to make a phone call to every single facility out there, you know, it could be a very daunting experience. It's almost like playing lotto, or, you know, you don't even really know, you know, what you're going to get, and you're trying to get the luck of the draw and trying to get a good care home that matches your needs, the budget, and, you know, the location. So usually the experts on a placement agency will know all of the homes in that area for the budget that you're comfortable with the care needs and everything. So they can definitely help. You know, there are other things besides the costs. There are other financial things that you could do. If it's still early enough, you can also look into long-term care insurance, which will pay, you know, for your assisted living care. You know, companies such as like Northwestern Mutual, Genworth, AARP has a program with Genworth, MetLife. They do. That's something, if you do have enough time and you're starting early, you know, you can look into. And then there's also the VA benefits, which is a really nice program to have, where, you know, as far as VA benefits, if the veteran or their spouse is, you know, in need of care, the VA will actually cover and assist in any of that rent at the assisted living, you know, community. So those are, and there are companies that specialize in getting the VA benefits for you, and you know, and that's a great thing out there. So there is, you know, help as far as the costs and trying to meet those levels. So there are agencies and resources and organizations out there that will help on those things. You know, sorry if I'm jumping around, but just to go back into the community and admission fee, you know, in this day and age, just depends, you know, with, again, going into the economy, some communities, they will, you know, you can kind of negotiate for incentives and discounts. This is another important thing. Wall Street Journal, when they interviewed us 2 weeks ago, they were focused on what are the incentives that you can do. You know, sometimes if you're going to go if you're going to seek a retirement community, what they'll have is a monthly rent, which you can negotiate on, or a buy-in. So, you know, you'll buy in for like $50,000 to $800,000, you know, it can go as high as $800,000. But on those buy-ins, you can actually negotiate like you're buying a home. If you're going for a retirement community that has a monthly rent or assisted living community, sometimes they'll, if they're, you know, a little secret here is that if they're 90% or below occupied and they're trying to fill in more of their vacancies, you know, they have their incentive, like they're motivated to give out incentives where they'll waive the community fee, or sometimes they'll, and or they will drop the monthly fee. You know, those are things that, you know, they are going, you know, going on in certain communities. And if their occupancy rate is low, sometimes, you know, there's one community that we know that they'll, they will give gifts, like they'll give like a free flat screen TV or even like a home theater system or travel vouchers or stuff like that. So, you know, if you ask, the best thing to do, number one, you know, to all the listeners, is to make sure you ask for these incentives that they're going on, and you can negotiate as long as you're serious and as long when you're ready to go, you can negotiate on that monthly rate. So everything, you know, they're willing to work with the families. So that's something that, you know, you want to be aware of.
Kind of like getting on an airplane and talking to passengers, finding out there's seven different rates.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven different prices for you for this, basically the same seat.
Right.
I do know this because this is what happened with my father. Because he was in a nursing facility and he had to have daily wound care and certain things like that, as long as he was doing his therapy for some of his other issues that he had with regard to mobility and things like that, Medicare would pay. But once it was deemed by the therapist that he was no longer progressing in his therapy on a normal and natural scale, like they tried to get him up out of the wheelchair and have him walk. Well, they got him up out of the wheelchair and he walked down the ramp with the two rails, and he walked that. And that was like a huge accomplishment for him. But he never did it again. It was almost as if he said, "See, I can do it. I just don't want to." But the fact is, then when the therapist, the physical therapist in this particular case, writes up their assessment of his abilities, and they say he will progress no further, Medicare cut it off, or was threatening to cut it off. Now, because he had the wound care is what kept him viable as far as Medicare was concerned. So there are certain instances, apparently, that Medicare will pay, but it's not just normal Alzheimer's dementia care. There has to be something else involved that is a medical issue.
Right, correct.
I think Medicare will pay for it. And that's the only thing, frankly, it's the only thing that saved our bacon with regard to his care. And we got out of that with his passing and so on and so forth, completely, totally unscathed as far as out of pocket for more than anything. I don't think we paid more than $250, $300 total for nine months of care for him. So
right.
We were very, very fortunate. You mentioned before that have a professional help you. That's what you folks do, isn't it? You are the professionals that help people determine exactly where, what, how much, when, why, the whole nine yards. That's part of your mission, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we definitely do that, and you know, I guess it goes back into you know, growing up in the medical healthcare field and loving what we do and being passionate to find the right care. I mean, you want someone there for you where they know, you know, what's the best care for your parents and to get those options. And so we do provide those options for free to the community. You know, we are some of our, a lot of the communities and care homes, what they'll do is, like, you know, they advertise with us and stuff like that and try and get more exposure. But what we try to do is really find those homes, because, you know, most of middle America, I mean, let's be honest, can't afford the $8,000 to $6,000 a month, you know, like payment, you know, for their loved one. I mean, even sometimes, you know, like they'll get, you know, they can only afford $1,200 a month, or, you know, they can only afford, like, you know, like $3,000 or, you know, $2,800 a month. So our mission is actually to find those good care homes and communities out there so people have a wide range of options, because what happens is the large communities, you know, we work with them all the time, and they're great, and they serve a certain purpose, and they can get out there a large marketing budget. But, you know, a lot of the small care homes out there, like the ones that you said you were lucky to find, we find those, and we actually help give them exposure so people can find how good they are and what services they provide. And we take pictures, and we put them on our listing and our website and everything, so people can kind of do a tour and not, you know, instead of driving around town, like I said, they can already do a virtual tour of the inside and outside, and from there they can limit their choices down to something that you know they're really interested in. So we try to make the process, you know, the process is hard enough dealing with your loved one and worrying about, you know, their care needs and are they going to be taken care of and how long they can make the budget. And the last thing you need to, you know, is to have all these options thrown at you. And like you said, it's like a maze. So we try to really make the process simplified and easy for the families to make the best, you know, to empower them and make the best decision possible. So, you know, it could, again, you know, going into, I know you're talking about, you know, putting your parents in a care home and just putting them there. And, you know, nowadays it's not like the 80s where they're boarding cares or convalescent homes and they just go there to, you know, watch TV where they spend the rest of their life and, you know, that's it. I mean, now, like most of the good care homes and communities out there, they'll have, you know, they'll have sous chefs. I mean, they'll have programs and activities where they go out to the casinos, they go out to church or shopping, you know, they'll have like music therapists, they'll have, you know, pet therapy, they'll have a lot of things that can help enrich and even make your loved one improve. You know, we've seen it where if it's a good care home or facility or community, they end up going in there and they end up improving and being better than they were when they started. You know, and those are the ones that, you know, we really, you know, work with and trying to find helping, you know, put families with those. And, you know, like I said, from all of the amenities that you could find, like they do all, like it's not just a place where you place them anymore. It's a place where they can go and enjoy the rest of, you know, their life and making sure that they're safe and taken care of. So, so it's definitely a good thing. You don't feel, you know, we don't want people, families to feel they're alone out there. There are so many good services nowadays that do help in providing, you know, those things. So,
well, I'm certainly aware of that, and I get a sense in talking to you that you are one of those good facilities and good helpers that are out there taking care of our seniors and helping families take care of their seniors. So it's nice to know that you're there. I'm on your website. It is www.seniorcarehomes.com, and homes is plural, seniorcarehomes.com. I'm looking right here where it says find senior care as one of the possibilities at the very top of the homepage. And also it has whether you are looking for assisted living, nursing facility, Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever it might be, you have a listing for it and places they can shop and get some good ideas and some suggestions. So I want to just, you know, say thank you for doing what you do and congratulations on your efforts. I think you're really doing something that's well needed and will be needed more in the future as we baby boomers, 78 million of us, turn older and need help. So we didn't even have a chance today to touch on, Erwin, about things like what do we do to take care of our own needs and plan
right.
Our own needs. And I mean, there are so many things that I know that we haven't touched on. But we'll just have to get you back, and we'll do it again in the future.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to close, Pete, and just to help the listeners out. If there's anything we missed with that, any of that stuff, you know, anything you were able to write down, we discussed everything is on our website from articles. Again, what to look for in a care facility, when is appropriate time to discuss with your children or with your parents. You know, the timing and everything. And we also have articles from world-renowned expert doctors and gerontologists. Some have treated the Pope, John Paul, and Dalai Lama, and they've written articles on preventing Alzheimer's to also what to look for. But you can also call us. You know, our number is 877 523-6523, and that's extension 1. And, you know, that's also on our website. We'll be happy to answer any questions. But, you know, the thing I just want to leave you with and the listeners with is, you know, to close is, you know, time is definitely your ally, and you don't want to make last minute, you know, decision under, you know, under the gun and under time pressure, because you want to be able to find the best care out there. And just keep in mind too, like anything in life, you do get what you pay for. You know, you do want to find that middle ground out there so you could sustain financially. And, you know, just ensure you find the care, you know, find the options out there that best suit your loved one, and that's a fit, you know, by asking experts. You know, like there's a lot of organizations out there that can help, placement agencies to, you know, the Alzheimer's Association is another great resource. We're actually a part of a committee to, we are sponsored for them, and we're in the committee for UCI Mind, which is Alzheimer's research prevention. So there's tons of, we're almost like a one-stop website for senior care that we can help. So we love what we do, and we would be more than happy to help anyone that needs, you know, finding senior care.
Well, I want to point out that although you're in Los Angeles area, in the Southern California area, your website takes in areas all across the country. So anybody listening to us within the sound of our voice here on the Internet could possibly find something via your website. So give you a shot, give you a try, and go to seniorcarehomes.com and put your information in there and see if there's something that they can identify for you. Erwin, thank you very much for being with us today. I certainly appreciate it. Like I say, we'll have to get together again over these internet radio wires and have a little more conversation about some of the things that we didn't get to today.
That sounds great, Pete. Thanks so much for the opportunity and allowing us to help your listeners. And we had enjoyed our time here with you.
Thank you very much. Take care, and have a great day.
All right, you too. God bless. Take care, Pete. Goodbye.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks to everybody for listening today. As always, we try to bring you some good conversation, and today we think we brought you some excellent conversation with Erwin T. Alato, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder of SeniorCareHomes.com. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk. We bring you that good conversation every day, Monday through Friday. And you can listen to us again tomorrow on the Boomer the Babe Show at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can listen to us at any time you want to listen to us by the archives in case you've missed something. Or if you want to see what you've missed, just go to blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Check the archives and see if there's some topics and conversation there that you might like to learn more about and listen to. You're welcome to do that as well. Remember, we do much more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. See everything that makes up the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. We do a lot more than just this. And please sign up for our online magazine, Experience Speaks, right there on our website at boomerandthebabe.com as well. Be sure to make the second half of life the best half of your life. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow with another great guest and some more interesting topics of conversation. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Boomer and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as PetePeters47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.